Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's Breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
1:37 in the afternoon. Bob Pompiani and Jason Mackey with you as we have the final segment of the program here before the PM team takes over. And we've had a very interesting day, a lot of different topics, the last of which was Paul Skeens. How do you bring in more people? I don't know what they're going to do at this point other than what they have, Jason, which would be what in the outfield, cruises and center. We know that. They're going to stick to that plan, and why not? You need a bat. Sure. He looks like he's pretty good out there. What else?
Well, I'd expect Brian Reynolds to play most days in left field. I mean, maybe you platoon him and Spencer Horwitz at first. I think they'd like to have Horwitz play most days over there. I know his platoon splits have not been great throughout his career, but you could maybe move Reynolds to first that way. I don't expect that to happen. And then in right field, probably Jack Sawinski, unless they do something. I think they're going to give Jack an opportunity to earn some playing time. I think they're enticed by him hitting 26 home runs in 2023. I know those on the outside aren't going to feel that same way. It's not an endorsement. I hope they add. They need to add. But right now, in the break, Pomp, you and I are looking at, free agent outfielders right now they could bring in. It's a pretty slim list. Yep. I can't say I feel great about any of the options. I mean, they would be baseball players you could add to a baseball team, but, could come via trade, or they could have Sawinski. I wonder about Henry Davis.
That's the name I was going to ask you. Yeah. Where is he?
I don't know. You didn't mention
his name, and I'm surprised at this point. What do they do with him? Andy Rodriguez is coming back, right?
Yeah. I mean, Andy Rodriguez is going to come back, but him and Henry, I mean, you're talking about a sub-600 OPS. I'm not guaranteeing playing time for any of those guys. Like, if I'm running the Pirates, I hope that those guys prove to me that they deserve to be on a roster, and if they do, I'll find a place for him. And it might be in right field for Henry. Like, if Joey Bart's hitting, I'm not moving him from behind the plate. I might use Henry as a backup, but Henry might have to go play right field. I don't know. He might have to DH, and you sit Kutch. I don't know. But all of that starts with him showing me that he can hit major league pitching consistently, which he hasn't done.
Yeah, that's a problem that a lot of guys have right now, consistently hitting major league pitching. And boy, Henry Davis, I thought, that was a guy who was going to secure the backup, the back of the plate for 10 years and hit with power and give them a luxury that not many teams have. But so far, that hasn't worked out to be. 412-928-9370, let's squeeze in some calls before we go. Bill in Uniontown, you've been waiting. Hey, Bill, what's up?
Yes. We need to win real bad against the Bengals because the Steelers went 1-1 with Cleveland and 1-1 with Baltimore. So do you think we can sweep the Cincinnati Bengals 2-0?
Well, they're not favored to do it. Thanks, Bill, for the call. I look at this game and there's a big part of me that says they're not going to be able to stop Joe Burrow.
No.
And so
I'm with you.
They know they're in the playoffs. They know they're going to probably be at Houston, most likely. But other than that, I think it's important that they play well, right, Jason? I mean, you can make a case that if they play well, at least that's something to build off going into the postseason.
If they beat the Bengals, it's going to be like 48-45. I feel like
what is the over and under number on that, Seth? Do you know? Because it has to be high. I would imagine it's high. Steeler defense hasn't given you a reason to think they're going to shut them down. So
right, and I mean
48 or something like that.
We glossed over this, Bob.
Okay,
their secondary. What are T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase going to do to this group?
Like, not to mention Mike Gesicki or Brown out of the backfield. Chase
right?
Brown's been really
He's
good
been
for
really
them.
48.5.
Oh, I was close.
I'd take the over on that.
I would too.
Ooh.
I would. Bengals might get 48 plus
yeah,
on
by
their
themselves.
Own.
But, I mean, Joey Porter Jr. has struggled, and he's coming back. He's not completely healthy, I'd argue. Dante Jackson has not been good lately. Are you going to have James Pierre in coverage? Corey Trice? Like, it thins out fast, man. And, I mean, that's a discussion for another day about the defense and why the secondary isn't better. You're spending that much money on defense, but I like the Bengals to put up a lot of points.
Yesterday, Mike Tomlin, at his press conference, was asked about the bickering, the finger-pointing going on. There was a lot of that, and Deshaun Elliott was not shy about airing his grievances about what was going on. Mike Tomlin said it's bickering means they care, and they're in. Do you buy that? Do you think that that's a because we care?
No, I think that's a way of the coach diffusing the situation. I mean, if you cared, you wouldn't say that stuff publicly. You'd probably handle it behind closed doors. I don't know. I'm contradicting myself because I'm always in favor of athletes, people that we cover, being as transparent as possible. And I think Sean Elliott's a tremendous quote, and I'm glad he said what he did. But it certainly seemed like there were some veiled threats or comments, or we're talking about somebody without really talking about them, Pomp. Yeah. And I'm not sure that – I mean, that's not the best course of action. If you got a problem with somebody without the media, say, what the heck are you doing?
Yeah, in case you missed that, this is Mike Tomlin yesterday on that topic of finger-pointing or bickering internally.
Mike, did you, when you met last Thursday, did you address some of the kind of bickering that was going on among the defense about each other, and did you quell that kind of
thing? You know, I didn't do much about it, man. They bicker because they care, and we weren't playing well, and oftentimes the solutions is born out of conflict and confrontation, particularly when you're in the business that we're in. And so we're not going to let an issue like that be a big issue. It's really not. Guys expressing truth and working to seek solutions, and sometimes emotions are involved in that. And so most of the time when you get out of those circumstances, you're able to move on as a collective, and I feel like we certainly have done that.
Well, we'll see. I mean, if there are a lot, because guys have been running wide open here, and there's a lot of people standing around. When I saw Kelce on that scramble play that Mahomes did, Jason, I'm thinking to myself, how do you let him? You know who he is. You know you should know where he is, and yet he was wide open in the back of the end zone.
Yeah, there's been a lot of miscommunications, Pomp. I mean, I think of Xavier Worthy lining up in the backfield. Yeah. That's a play that they should have been absolutely ready for, expecting, and Minkah Fitzpatrick was extremely late to diagnose that and get over there. I don't know who they're talking about. I don't know if I care who they're talking about. Like, I don't want to hear you talk about anything other than as a team fixing this. It's a problem, you know, and you've got a heck of a challenge. You've got the playoffs on the horizon. Like, just get it done, you know, and for as much as these guys and a lot of professional athletes want to just dismiss media and disregard them, whatever, and I get it. I understand their side of it. Like, it does nobody any good to say stuff like that.
No.
To reporters, to me.
Because all it is like throw meat out there.
Yeah.
And people are going to say, oh, what does this mean? What's he talking about? And it becomes a distraction.
It gives you things to speculate on. You know what you can't speculate on? Getting in front of a camera and saying, it's not acceptable. We've got to be better. We take ownership of it. This isn't who we want to be. We're going to talk about it and fix it this week. You know, we want better results. You want better results. That's it. End of statement. Not that hard.
No, it isn't. Mike in Moon Township joins us right now on The Fan. Hey, Mike, how are you?
Hey, good, Mr. Pompiani. Just a question for you. Do you think the Pitt Panther football team should drop down to the MAC conference?
Oh, gosh.
And if they do, one person said no because they put too many people in the pros. And lastly, do you think we should stick with Coach Narduzzi because he's committed to the program, not looking beyond Pitt for any other teams? That's all I have.
Well, being committed is one thing. Being successful is another. And thanks, Mike. Listen, as far as you certainly, if you're Pitt, you're not a team that's going to be able to close this gap. I just in NIL life right now, I do not see that possibly changing. Do you, Jason? I mean, to
no,
me, you've got to be one of these programs that has a whole bunch of backing that can get the kind of money that it necessary. I don't think that's going to change, and I think because of it, they're going to end up being what they are.
No, I talked about, I did a story on this when I don't know when it was. Something happened with NIL, but I remember actually talking to Mike DeCourcy earlier this football season about the uniqueness of Pittsburgh as a market. He's like, think about a lot of the southern teams and where college football is big. A lot of those places aren't pro cities. They're not driven by, you know, three professional sports teams over top of the college. They've had these teams there forever, and they're the biggest dog at the ball. And Pitt is not that. And that's not a slight on Pitt. That's just reality. And you need to be able to have somebody function within that environment. No, that doesn't mean that Pitt's never going to win. I think they can win. I think they can be a lot better than they were before. But I don't look at Pitt in the other places like Allen Green has been and think, oh, here's an Auburn waiting to happen. You know, this they need to turn Pitt into Alabama. Like, no, that's an impractical goal to have. Pitt's not even going to be Penn State. They're two vastly different schools. But can Pitt be a better version of Pitt? Sure.
Yeah, as far as Narduzzi is concerned, I wasn't a big fan of the last extension he got because he had several years left on it. And given the fact that most of the time when we heard defenses by ADs on why you would extend a guy 10 years, 7 years, whatever it is, it's because we want to show our recruits that we're stable here. He's not going anywhere, so therefore you shouldn't either. Yeah. That is out the window right now. Because not only do coaches go, players don't have to – you. Just because you're in place for 7 more years or whatever it is doesn't mean that these players are going to stick with you because they won't. They have their own agendas right now. So to me, that argument is gone. There's no reason to sign a coach to a multi-year seven-year extension. No reason whatsoever. I'd go year to year, and that's the way I'd do it. I'm sorry.
And Bob, if you're a college administrator, you don't have to sit here and accept like, oh, this takes 4 years or you have to install system, get your own people. I mean, my goodness, look at Arizona State. They're going to be playing tomorrow in a New Year's Day Bowl. Hines Ward, wide receivers coach, by the way, but Kenny Dillingham, their coach, they're 3-9 last year. He went hit the transfer portal hard. I believe they're over 50% of their roster transfer kids, and they're good. Indiana did the same thing with Kurt Cignetti.
Yep.
They made the college football playoff.
Look what Deion Sanders did.
Sanders, like you can look
even
at
SMU, although it didn't turn out well.
You're
for them.
Right. Yeah. Good call. Good call. SMU's in the same boat.
That's why I'm not going to give that much. And this is what you end up like Neil Brown. And the last year they probably wanted to get rid of him, but they figured wait a year, it'll cost us less. Pat Narduzzi, I'm sure, has a hefty buyout.
Yeah.
These are things you can avoid now as an athletic director. Say, look, I don't need to give you 10 years, 7 years, or even 5 years. The reason is you could turn things around quickly. We used to think it took 5 years. Now it doesn't. Therefore, show me. You want more money? Good. We'll go year to year. I'll give you more money, but you got to prove it to me. So.
But I mean, that's also not Alan Green's bet. You know, he didn't cause that.
No, but he has to deal with it.
He does. I mean, what would you do? Would you bring him back?
I think I would for now because I think the buyout's so expansive. But I think in time, we'll see. Now, the pressure should be on next year.
Sure.
You're following a 3-9 with a complete collapse. 7, and maybe it was fool's gold to believe it, but, you know.
I mean, you're still 500 over the past 2 years, and that's not gonna keep you employed. I'm sorry. The standard should be higher.
So we'll see. That's one of those things I got to. All right, one more call before we go, and that would be Kevin and make it Jerry and Shayla. I'm sorry, Kevin, we may not get you in because Jerry was waiting longer, and that's the way I do it. Hey, Jerry, what's up?
Hey, Bob. I just wanted to tell you and Jason both, since you're both together today, really appreciate your work on KDK, and I really appreciate Jason's columns. I've written him a few times about his columns. He's always been nice enough to respond to me, and I just appreciate both of your works, and I just hope you continue to do it because you've covered everything today. I've appreciated listening to it. Keep up the good work.
Thank you, Jerry.
Thank you, Jerry.
Both appreciate that. Now, Kevin, you do have time because Jerry was short, so Kevin in the North Hills. Go right ahead, sir.
Happy New Year's Eve, gentlemen.
You too.
Happy New Year's.
Yeah, I mean, the Steelers better care about this game on Saturday. I mean, look what Dan Campbell did with his squad. They didn't need to play all out for that game, but they found reasons to want to. Revenge against San Francisco, etc. I mean, we've lost 3 in a row. We've got to end this slide at home in front of our fans before we, you know, enter the wild card round. Don't you agree?
Go ahead, Bob.
How they play tomorrow is very important, or Saturday. They got to. I think they got to win just to have that feeling. They also have to do it impressively, and I don't know that they can do it against this team. I would think you'd hate to go into this with a losing streak that would take you to 10-7. You're going to be big underdogs on the road, and you could say what you want about Houston, but Houston still has very talented players. They've not played well. They've been hit hard with some injuries at critical positions, but playing down there is not a gimme. I don't care what people think. It won't be.
Yeah, I think they need to be cognizant of how they're playing, and I think unfortunately they've put themselves in a position where they can't just rest guys and not care about the outcome Saturday night, even if it doesn't care in the standings. I don't think you want to go into a playoff game having lost 4 in a row, getting your teeth kicked in by the Bengals. Who knows if that becomes the game the Bengals need to get into the playoffs. That would, for whatever reason, feel that much more demoralizing. I don't think Houston's a very good team, Bob. I disagree with you on that one, but I mean, neither would the Steelers be in that case. Losing 4. I'm not sure it matters. So I need to see something out of the Steelers to even think about picking them in the first round.
Yeah, that's going to be a tough call no matter where they go. And at this point, I would choose Houston over Baltimore. I know people are going to, I've already seen it on Twitter. Sure. Oh, the Steelers' success against Baltimore, that's who you want. And I don't know if it's who you want. That's a team that's right now rising. And if you look at a lot of the metrics, you can make a case that Baltimore is a team that could win the Super Bowl this year based on how they're playing and what they have. So I know their defense isn't as good as some of these others, but they figured out ways recently. Dean Pease, baby, I keep saying it.
It's been among the best in the NFL since that first Steelers game.
It has
Whatever
been.
That jiggled loose, I don't know.
I don't know. Jason, it's been fun. Thanks.
Likewise, Paul.
Appreciate
Thanks,
it.
Man.
Always good to be with you. And I know Jason will be back on Thursday. I'll be back tomorrow, I believe. Austin Bechtold will be here. Is that
triumphantly
correct?
Returning, yes.
Okay, we're going to have that as Joe continues to play golf somewhere. Joe's going to, I told Joe you should do a video or write a book about this kind of stuff because he's trying all these different golf courses. Anyway, that's going to do it for us. We do appreciate all the people who've called. Stick around because the PM team is coming up next. Join us tonight on the Ireland Contracting Nightly Sports Call. We do it every single night of the week. That's 10:35, 7 nights a week. Always talking sports with you. And for Seth Meyers and Jason Mackey, I'm Bob Pompeiani, wishing you a very happy new year, all the best in 2025. And before I do that, I do have to tell you about Fan Weather, which is brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. 0% financing on all 2024 Chevy EV models up to 60 months through January the 3rd with credit through GMC Financial. Showers today, possible thunderstorm, high of 51, temperature tanks as the week goes on. And by game day, it's going to be a high of 24 degrees. Saturday, 8 o'clock at night, chilly conditions. The Steelers hope to warm it up a little bit by winning a game against Cincinnati and heading into the playoffs on a positive note. We'll have you covered all weekend on KDK-TV with pregame shows, everything else. That's coming up over the weekend. And one other note for you, and that would be the Fan Hotline. It's presented to you by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh Trusted Plumbing HVAC provider for over 50 years. You can call that one to talk to Chris Muller. I don't know if Pony's in today or not. No, so it's Chris Muller. He'll be riding with you for the next several hours. For Jason Mackey and Seth Meyers, I'm Bob Pompeiani. Again, happy new year. All the best to you in 2025.